Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and with me in the studio once again, Brett Martin, founder and CEO of Castle Branch, Connie Majorette, president and CEO of the Wilmington Chamber of Commerce. Also joining us now in the studio, rushing in from a county budget meeting, county manager Chris Coudray. Chris, welcome.
Thank you.
We're talking about the economic climate in the region, what local leaders can do to facilitate responsible growth. If you have a question for our guest today, or if you own a local business, give us a call and tell us what makes this area conducive to business or what some of the challenges are that you face. The number is 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. or tweet us at CoastlineHQR. John from Wilmington. I'm sorry, this is Ed from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is twofold. It's about water quality. And my concern is this. How are economic plans taking water quality into consideration? And when I say water quality, I'm talking about two things. I'm talking about both the quality and also the supply. So the example of the quality would be to look at our intertidal estuaries in New Hanover County. All of those are currently closed to shell fishing, so you can't take oysters out of those creeks. And last time I was at a restaurant in this town, you paid $2 to $3 an oyster. So there's an economic interest there in the quality of the water. The quantity I'm concerned about, as I understand it, Titan would use 15 million gallons of water a day, I think, in its mining operation. And I'm not even talking about the any kind of pollution. I'm just talking about use of the Castle Payne aquifer. So that's a lot to ask.
That is a lot to ask, Ed. So let's start with New Hanover County Manager Chris Coudray.
Thank you. Thank you, Rachel. I'll do my best to answer both questions on the quality side and quantity. And let me start with the quantity first. We are fortunate to have an incredible supply of water, particularly through the Cape Fear River. And for the potable water that we use daily, if you're a customer of the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority, it's largely coming through the lock and dam north of us, out of the Cape Fear River. And with an eye toward preservation on the quantity of water, I hope the caller will remember not 60 days ago, the county commission, the city council passed resolutions opposing an interbasin transfer of water from the Cape Fear River Basin to the Neuse River Basin, not at all suggesting that communities in the Triangle are not in need of water. They absolutely are.
And just for those folks who aren't familiar with that development, can you explain why the board passed this resolution?
Absolutely. Interbasin transfer governs the amount of water that can be taken out of, I don't know the exact number, but let's say there's six major river basins in North Carolina. It governs the amount of water that can be taken from one basin and transferred to another for use by a different region of the state. And there were a collection of communities in the Triangle who are effectively running out of an adequate water supply in the Neuse River Basin, who looked to the Cape Fear to take 25 million gallons, I believe is the amount a day, out of circulation. Well, that may be a drop, literally a drop in the bucket, but we've got to preserve the long-range downstream access for communities in southeastern North Carolina. And so how we focus on quantity preservation is making sure that interbasin transfer rules are good and strong, and that we don't have other fast-growing communities depriving us of our chance to have potable water in the community. So I hope the caller will remember that there was a lot of effort put into helping keep that from happening.
And just within our own community, Is quantity something that we need to be concerned about?
Today, no. But long term, you know, this county has been in existence since 1729. You know, we're going to be here in 285 years, and we've got to make sure that the water supply in the future can preserve and encourage sustainable development in this part of the state. So quantity today, I don't think, is an issue. But we've got to keep our eye on the long-term view. Most of the water that we drink is not coming from the groundwater here in New Hanover County. There are wells for private water drinking.
How are we doing in terms of quality?
Great question. New Hanover County has made water quality preservation an important public policy. And I think when you look at the water quality over the last 4 or 5 years, and every year the county commission receives a report from a private contractor who samples in a number of creeks throughout the community, our water quality has largely leveled off. We have areas, to the caller's point, that are closed for shell fishing. But on the whole, I don't think a real reading would suggest that the water quality is degrading at a rapid rate. And that's because of state policies that deal with sedimentation and erosion control, development policies, local policies about stormwater regulation are preventing unregulated runoff into our water system. So we haven't solved the problem. But I believe with low-impact development, stormwater practices, we are not making the problem necessarily worse than it is today. So there is a focus on quantity and quality, and they have to work in tandem.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about economic development in the region, what local leaders have learned, what they're putting into practice. You just heard from New Hanover County Manager Chris Coudray. We also have Brett Martin, founder and CEO of Castle Branch, with us, and Connie Majorette, president and CEO of the Wilmington Chamber of Commerce. And now, John from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm really enjoying it, and thanks for talking about the issue of economic development in small businesses. Definitely appreciate you shining some light on it. I own a small business, and I work for a small business, two jobs. And when I did my taxes for 2013, there was a wonderful, great, large incentive of a good chunk, and it allowed me to reinvest into what I needed for my business. And I noticed that in 2014, when I did my 2014 taxes for the state of North Carolina, that incentive was not there anymore, and I had to pay a considerable more amount. I forget what the exact incentive was called for small businesses or for self-employment, but that is money I definitely would have put back into the community, back into the other local businesses to grow mine, but unfortunately just went right back out. Could you just shine some light on maybe the incentive I'm referring to and discuss how maybe that would be helpful if we could reinstate that possibly?
Thanks. We have thanks so much for your call, John. We have three furrowed brows here, four actually, in the studio. If my husband could call in, he's a CPA and a tax advisor, but he's not here. So, Chris Coudray?
I'm going to take a stab at this. And county governments don't deal in income tax. We primarily deal with property and sales taxes. But my thought may be that the caller is being caught up in some of the broad-based tax policy changes that the General Assembly implemented about a year ago that, at least from a personal perspective on income tax, we're limited now in the number of deductions that we can claim. So I believe probably embedded in that tax plan was some impact on local business. But it was done within the context of lowering the corporate income tax, having a flatter personal income tax, and ultimately broadening the base for sales tax collections. I can't speak with confidence that that's the situation here, but I wouldn't at all be surprised.
John, thanks so much for your call. Talking about small businesses, before we went to the break, we had raised the issue of what local leaders can do to facilitate and help small and new businesses grow. And this is one of those magic six policy recommendations that local leaders have pulled out of the Garner report and said, we want to implement these six first. So first of all, Chris Coudray, talk to us about the draft economic incentive policy that the county is working on.
Glad to. And I'm going to think back to the question that Richard from Carolina Beach posed about what are the industries that we want to attract? What are our competitive advantages? And that was the very thing that the county commission and the city of Wilmington commissioned from Jay Garner, which led to Pathways to Prosperity. So when you look at our base of existing resources, the talent and the imagination we have, the Garner Report has identified four basic industry clusters that we have an above-average probability of being successful. The first is life in marine sciences. And you think about what's happening with UNCW, PPD, and other clinical research organizations in the community. So we've got a cluster of business that can grow and expand.
What can the county do to facilitate that?
Well, and I think that's part of what the draft incentive policy focuses on. It's intended, number one, to help existing business grow and expand. And there's some basic metrics around that, and I'd be glad to talk about it. But the way the draft policy was presented to both governing boards is that if you are an industry that is in one of the categories, life and marine sciences, precision manufacturing, aviation assembly, and high-value office operations, there is a bonus in the cash grant that the county and the city in partnership would be willing to make for every new job created in one of those industry clusters. So if it's a $5,000 grant, there would be a 10% bonus added to that for every job that a business would commit to in life in marine sciences, as an example. So I think that's where the policy is most effective, is inducing the creation of jobs in those specific industry clusters.
And sort of a component of this recommendation, Connie Majorette, is identifying existing resources that will help small and new businesses grow. What would an example of that be?
An example would be smoothing the way for people that want to start up, making sure there's a one-stop shop so that you're not – when you're a small startup, time is money. And the more hoops that you have to jump through and the more places you have to visit and the people you have to interact with, the longer it takes. So that's one example.
Brett Martin.
Well, you're asking, you know, what are the existing resources? And one of the best resources that we have is our people, and namely our students who are graduating. We have tremendous students. We recently did a study at Castle Branch, and 58% of our workforce comes from UNC. And there's a reason why we're
58% of Castle Branch's workforce?
58% of Castle Branch's workforce has been involved in the UNC system in some form or another. And that is a tremendous resource. When you look at manufacturing, you use steel, you use wood, you use different things to build what you're building. When you look at the knowledge technology or the technology sector, we use people, we use minds. And we need to tap those people and make sure they're not leaving our community.
We recently lost the head of UNCW's incubator, the CIE, Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, and a search is underway for a new executive director of that organization. Brett Martin, how did CIE or does CIE or will CIE work with, say, Castle Branch or the rest of the business community?
So CIE doesn't work with Castle Branch as much as it works with Tech Mountain, which is the Castle Branch-funded incubator. And it works as it's a piece of a larger pie. The university in any major community that is tech-related, you know, has an incubator function. You can't rely on the university to be the tip of the spear. Ultimately, the tip of the spear is always private business. But we need the support of our government. We need the support of the community. We need the support of the university. So they're a part of the bigger puzzle. I think Jim did a fantastic job, and I'm sorry to see him go. But the truth is, this train doesn't rely on a single person, and it has left the station, and we will be just fine.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about economic development in the region, strategies that local leaders are putting into play. With us in the studio today, New Hanover County Manager Chris Coudray. We also have Wilmington Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Connie Majorette and Castle Branch Founder and CEO Brett Martin. Going back to one of those key recommendations from the Garner Report, Chris Coudray, the extension of water and sewer up 421. We know we had Jonathan Barfield, New Hanover County Commission Chair, in here earlier, and he was saying the $12 million for that project is in the budget. How is that going to be paid for, just to be clear?
The proposal. And
yes,
we talked about it last Thursday, and I hope all of your callers will tune in on Monday evening when the county presents its recommended budget to the Board of Commissioners. And I think you'll hear a lot of conversation about paying for water and sewer on 421 through the issuance of limited obligation bonds. That is a form of indebtedness that we can place in the bond market, enjoy very favorable ratings, and go ahead and jumpstart the development of industry on 421. So we'll look and ask the board to commit to it, number one, but allow us to issue $12 million of debt and begin paying on that. It will average out over the life of that debt to about $798,000 a year. We need $144 million of investment on U.S. 421 to get a return on that investment. But I'll reference what the county commission and the city council have done in the last 30 months with Castle Branch, with Live Oak, with GE, with Fortron. Through incentives and partnerships, that's $145 million of new private investment in this community in the course of 30 months and 520 new jobs that are being created or will be created. So getting a return on that $12 million is absolutely attainable, I think, in the near term.
We have just a minute or so left. Connie Majorette, before we go, if you could set one process in motion as a result of this conversation, what would that be that would change the landscape?
I think instead of a process of thought, we've talked a lot about high-tech jobs and things like the changing economy. I think the thought I would like to leave people with is that we need jobs for everyone. Everyone is not going to be a college graduate. Everyone's not going to be high-tech. We need jobs for our entire community.
Briefly, Brett Martin.
Well, I'm glad that the media is focused on this because we need good media partners that will talk about the startup community and keep this ball moving forward.
Chris Coudray?
Let's work together as a community. Our future is very bright.
That's this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank our guests, New Hanover County Manager Chris Coudray, Connie Majorette of the Wilmington Chamber of Commerce, Brett Martin of Castle Branch, and New Hanover County Commission Chair Jonathan Barfield. Thanks also to you, our listeners, those of you who emailed and called. And join us for the next Coastline. It's a live concert with the Williston Choir. That's next Wednesday at 12:06 here on HQR News 91.3 FM. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.